Well, I've been thinking through the week and been so inspired. Just feel like the Lord's refreshed and renewed this in me. I wrote on the board, the greatest of these is charity. And we want to start in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and we pray that the Lord will bless our time together this morning as we look at these scriptures. It says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." You know, when you look at those things, faith is pretty big, isn't it? Faith, the scripture tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him, doesn't it? There isn't any way to please God without faith. Without hope, we can't carry on. If we had no hope, we couldn't carry on. It just wouldn't happen. But He says, greater than faith and hope is charity. And this morning, you know, hope being the anchor of our soul, it keeps us from dropping out. It keeps us from becoming discouraged, doesn't it? But I've been so inspired all week long about the liberty we have to love one another. What a treasure we have that we do not have to become bitter. We do not have to become mean, ugly. Our life does not have to become filled with resentment, because our God is love. And He wants to impart a piece of who He is into our lives this morning. You know, the scripture tells us, this is Romans 13:10. It says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." You know, the law, we have all these books here of the Old Testament. And Jesus tells us that all of them are comprehended in just the love toward God and toward our fellow man, doesn't He? All of those things, all that He's trying to say to us is comprehended in this little thing called love. That's what when He says don't steal, and He says don't kill, and He says don't covet, and all of those things, that's because that's negative, isn't it? It's evil. It's a transgression against somebody or against God. But the Lord takes it a whole step farther. And He says, the fulfilling, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, faith and hope, it doesn't say that about them. It says that about love. You find out in life that the greatest struggles we have as people is with love, isn't it? That's what drops many people out. It's what splits marriages up. And yet we have something that it is so telling. It's such a trademark of God's people that the Lord said that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When they see the love that Jesus Christ modeled for us, He was our example, the kind of love that He gave, and they see that, they're going to know that we're disciples of Jesus, because it's so contrasting to the world around us. you know, love is the image of God in the soul, because the scripture says God is love. And so when we have love, the kind of love that God have, has. You know what that is? That's his image that has imprinted upon our life and upon our soul. And the Lord wants to give that to us. He wants to give that to us in our most difficult places. That's really in our homes usually, isn't it? The challenge of going through life and having a soft and a tender heart full of love toward God and toward other people. I want to tell you, we have a great privilege that there is a God that is love, that longs to imprint his image upon our heart. Now, his love was different than man's love. His love was far different than man's love. He gave us a little piece of it in man's love, didn't he? He gave us a little piece of himself. But there's something that God wants to impart to us that only he can do. And I think about that image that he wants to put upon our heart, upon our life. I think about, as we've all read many times, Nicodemus came to the Lord. And the Lord said, except you be born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. There has to be, for us to have life on the inside, we can't just do better. Now, doing better is a good thing to do, isn't it? But it's something that God makes us from death to life, isn't it? That's what being born of the Spirit is. That's when we know something happened inside. Something tremendous, different happened inside. And so, you know, when I feel like, and I've been thinking all through the week about love, because the Lord's imprinted this on my heart lately, afresh. I want to tell you, love is like that being born again. We can try to be good to people. We can want to be good to people. We can love people in a sense. But I want to tell you something. God has to give us a piece of himself sometimes. Sometimes it takes more than being good to someone. Sometimes it takes more than being at relative peace with our companion. It takes something of God himself. And what did the Lord tell us in all that he said? You know, we are, Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's another level of love, isn't it? While we were still in transgression, while we were still sinners, while we were still opposing God, he came and died for us. That's a love that is very different than our love. It's very as much deeper practically as it is to say somebody trying to be good and somebody being born again has new life in them. The Lord wants to put life in our love. He wants to put life in our love that only God can give. And that's something that if we don't get anything else this morning, let's get that one thing. God wants to put life into our love that only God can give. It can only come from him, because we can't try hard enough or have enough bite into it. Love is the image of God. Love is like that. God's love greatly surpasses human love. Only God can enlarge us to have that kind of love. You know, I want to read a couple more scriptures here about, because we said love is the fulfilling of the law in Romans 13. In Galatians 5 and 14 and 15, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What a difference from our kind of thoughts, our kind of love. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Do you know that I would say a great many marriages experience this biting and devouring one another? Many, many. That's why about half or so get divorced. And of the half that's left, how many bite and devour each other and stay together? And yet the Lord has something. He says, all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know that God wants to put life in that for us. He wants to make that alive to where we love, not because somebody's lovable. Jesus loved, and he modeled that love for us in that he died for us while we were still in transgression. That's a love that kind of blows the mind sometimes, isn't it? Because some people really don't deserve love. But I want to challenge us this morning that we seek the Lord for love, just like we sought the Lord for salvation. From death to life, we sing. That's salvation, isn't it? From death to life, he lifted me. What more contrast can there be than death and life? I don't know of any greater contrast. There's from death to life, he lifted me. I want to tell you, that's what he wants to do in our heart. He wants to give us love that is alive. Love that hunts down and seeks. Love that overcomes. That's the kind of love that the Lord wants to give us. I know that this is a pretty deep subject right here. And I don't propose to say that I know it all. But I will tell you this, folks. I know one thing. I've seen God put love into love. I've seen him put life into love until it became real. In 1 Peter 4 and 8, it says, and above all these things, just listen to what it constantly says about love. Jesus said the whole Old Testament, the whole prophecy, all of that is about this one thing, loving God, loving our neighbor as ourself, and our neighbor being all those around us. And then we read about faith and hope and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. And now we read Peter and he says, and above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves. You know, fervent reminds me of boiling. And I haven't looked that word up in a long time. But I believe that if you look at it, it means to boil, if I remember right. It's fervent. It's more than being warm. It's hot. It's fervent. Above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And I know we have a lot of couples. I just want to encourage us to let the Lord do that in our lives. Let the Lord give us love that we could have no other way. That only comes from God. It only comes from a divine changing and revelation in our heart from God. That's the only way it can come. All right. Hereby, this is 1 John 3 and 16. Now we know that John got a pretty good glimpse of love. He felt like when he wrote John, he said, the disciple that Jesus loved. John understood love. And he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, there was something about Jesus' love that was so unselfish. It was so giving. We did not find Jesus here even having a pillow to lay his head on at times. You know, Jesus didn't have the comforts we had. You know why? because his whole mission was us. His whole mission was love. That was Jesus. Jesus and the Lord, John tells us here, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Is that a little hard to comprehend? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren? How can we do that? You know, Jesus did it, didn't he? I think there's a place and a time for us to do that. And especially in our lives, in the way we help one another, in the way we give up time for one another and things like that. We do that, don't we? I know you do. I watch it. It's a wonderful light to the world. Jesus modeled that. He gave himself as an example of that kind of love. Love is a gift from God. And I don't want this morning to seem heavy in that, oh, we're not doing something. Folks, listen. God has given us a privilege that we might have love. You ever met somebody full of hatred? You ever looked at their life and seen what it's like? You ever looked at somebody that had a strife full of heart, had a heart full of strife? You ever seen that? You ever walked up to somebody and every time you walk up to them, they instantly begin to complain, to air their things. I walked up to a man one time. He didn't even know who I was. Didn't know my name. He had never seen me before. But I was on a job for a company. He didn't like that company. And the moment he realized I was with that company, he began to curse at me and swear and carry on and berate me. As soon as I walked up, and he was the one that had the power on the job. He was the GC, the superintendent over the whole job. I'll tell you, I did my shop with the lights off overhead while the rest of the store was on. I walked in the office and I heard him say, don't give them their FedEx. I had to have it. It was the end of the job. I needed it to finish my job. His heart was so full of anger and hatred and malice that's the kind of man he was. I found out. They said that the guy that trimmed the whole place inside with the big contracting company came in. They said the moment they walked up to each other, they started cursing at each other and swearing at each other in each other's face, right up against each other almost, and just carried on for like 45 minutes. That's what they said. And then they went to work. And you know what somebody told me? This man had a son. Maybe late teens, he was killed. And he became bitter and angry. And all these years, he's been taking it out on people. He took it out on me. He took it out on the other guys. He took it out on everybody that worked there, practically. Because his heart was so full of anger and bitterness. And you know what I thought? I've been thinking all week. What a beauty it is to be able to be full of love on the inside. You know what that makes you do to people? That makes you try to help them at every corner, at every chance, at every opportunity. It's so opposite of the other, isn't it? So opposite. I was thinking about a story about a tribe that over in South America, most of us have heard this, but there was the Aka Indians tribe in South America. They said 74%, this is what I read, 74% of the men died by violent tribal warfare. 74, that's right at 3 out of 4 men. They didn't die natural deaths. They got killed by each other and by warring tribes. They said that if somebody even thought somebody was going to get at them, they would preempt it and go kill them first. They would kill at just anything. They would just go and kill their enemies. I want to tell you, Now, that seems far out for you and me. There was people that wanted to take the gospel to them. And I will tell you, when those people heard about the love of Jesus Christ, it changed. And suddenly, all the killing stopped. There's something about the work of God in the heart that changes everything. But we've got to come to the Lord. We've got to hear about it. We've got to know about it. And we've got to accept it in our lives. That, you know what, whatever we have to endure, whatever we have to put up with, folks, there is a God of love. And you know what? Nothing we do changes Him. It's who He is. And He wants to put that in us. He wants to put that in us, all of us. There isn't any reason for anybody to be spewing out bitterness the rest of their life because something happened or some things happened. There isn't any reason, not when we have a God that can cause a man to go from death to life, and then all through life, all the bitter things that come along, and there's some bitter ones, folks. And He can still keep us with a heart that's soft and tender and loving and kind. It never changes to bitterness and all the things of darkness that go in the heart. They said those Aka Indians, they said, as soon as a boy could walk, they taught him the use of the spear. They would engrave human beings, and they would stick that spear in them over and over in these wood. You know, I know this is kind of on the edge, but I will tell you, as soon as they were 6 years old, they would go with them on their raids and help them. You know, what would life be like that? I'll tell you what it would be. It would be death. That's why 3/4 of them were killed. That's what life would be, death. But you know, spears and guns and knives and all of that are not the only way people kill each other. Did you know people kill each other with words? With anger? With looks? With hatred and malice? They do that all the time, don't they? You know, the Lord wants to change who we are. And He wants us to be able to envision that love that God brought to people. That love that would die for us when we were still in transgression, how could it be? I want to tell you, the Lord's love, it encapsulates every commandment He ever gave. It encapsulates everything the Word of God is about. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's all contained in that. And so why does it say the greatest of these is love? That's what charity means, love. The greatest, it's far greater. It's greater in every way. It'll go to heaven with us. So this morning, the Lord help us to get the grace of God that we might have those benefits that only He can give. In John 13 and 34, Jesus said to the people, He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now, I don't think it was all new, but I don't know what all Jesus meant by this. But I have to believe that part of it was that it was new to love your enemies. It was new to... You know, in the Old Testament, it says something about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus changed that, didn't He? And gave us a new commandment that you love everybody, even your enemies, even your husband and wife, even the wayward child. Jesus gave us that command. You know what? We can take it as a command, or we can realize, oh, folks, we do not have to be bound by bitterness. I want to tell you, the devil will come along and try us on these lines, won't he? He sure will. And so some of these battles like this are found the hard way. We find out God wants to renew in us a spirit of love and a spirit of benevolence that Jesus had, a spirit of those things that we see in Jesus the Lord wants to put in our lives. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Here's your trademark. Your life is just full of the love of God. Is that all right? That's what Jesus said. I know, I believe in holiness too, and all those things. I think it all comes from love. Loving God and loving people. Listen to what Jesus said over in Matthew 5 at the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and 43. He says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." You've heard this. That's what you've been taught. Maybe some of us were taught that. Maybe some of us were taught variations of that. But he said, this is what you've heard. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, I see people sometimes get treated in ways that I'm glad I'm not treated. The only hope I would have in that is that the God of heaven would do a miracle in my heart and change it. That's all I can say. I've seen people treated in those kind of ways. And Jesus said, I say unto you. Now when Jesus says these things, he counts on the fact that we've been born again. The fact that there has been new birth in our life and that we're not doing this on our own. And he counts on the fact that we humble ourselves before God and begin to cry out to him for mercy in those times. Is that right? We cry out, Lord, fill me with your love. Fill me with a measure of your love that's deeper than my measure of love. And so we cry out for that. It's the greatest blessing mankind can have. I believe that. That ye may be, he said, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise. This is the kind of God he is. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He doesn't turn the lights out on those that he doesn't like. His sun rises every day on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, if we want to be free, folks, this is the way to be free. This is the way to not have a heart full of anger and full of hatred and full of malice and full of strife at every word. It immediately strikes up the strife. On the just and on the unjust, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, that's quite a scripture, isn't it? Be ye therefore perfect. He's talking about loving. Be perfect. Be complete, be whole in this way. Love comes at a cost. I want to remind us that the scriptures tell us that love is stronger than death. Do you know that love is stronger than death? Love is stronger than all those things that bring death. It is. And so it comes at a cost. We have to die to ourselves, don't we? Have you ever been offended to the place that you had to go and cry out to God? Not against your offender, but for yourself. Lord, I need help. I need help. I need to have a heart that is full of benevolence and love. toward everybody. This is our privilege, folks. This is the privilege of the people of God. It sets us free. It's a beautiful thing that the Lord has for you and for me. It's our privilege to know about the love of Jesus. You know, I can only imagine those Aka Indians that found out about the love of Jesus and the love of God. And their hearts were so changed. I wonder what life was like. It must have been, what a marvelous change. Here I am fearing for my life every day because everybody around me hates too. It's what we've been taught. This is what we have felt like is right. Something happens, it's got to be righted. A death for a death. A death for some other something that happened. That's the way life is in some people's circles. But folks, not in the Lord's circle. It is so free to have love for everyone. Romans 13 and 8. Owe no man anything, Romans 13 and 8. Owe no man anything. Don't owe people something that you owe to them. Take care of it. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so he's telling us don't owe custom or tribute or fear or whatever we owe to the authorities. And don't owe anybody love that we don't have for them. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many times in the different books of the Bible does it say that? It's very clear, isn't it? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The nature of love is that it fulfills that law. It does right toward everyone. Not because it has to, but because it wants to. There's something God puts down in there that changes things. And that's what I want to encourage us this morning. Folks, God wants to help us. We have to humble ourselves before Him. Lord, fill my heart with the kind of love that I can love my opposer with a pure heart fervently. I believe that's what the Scriptures teach us this morning. Whether we find it exactly written in that way, it tells us to love the brethren with a pure heart fervently. I think the Lord would extend that a little myself. He says, who's your neighbor? Some lawyer. Who's my neighbor? Well, I'll tell you who he is. This guy that needs your love. He needs your help. That's your neighbor. And so, this morning, that's the little thought. Psalm 19. Listen to what Psalms 19 tells us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Folks, the ways of the Lord is perfect. It changes things. It helps us so much. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We cannot go wrong with them. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's how the words of the Lord are. And they will be that in our life if we will allow them to. Moreover, by is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Do you know there's elements in love that make up this thing? It's got keys to it. It's got elements in it. Just like the elements make up things that we deal with. Iron and things like that are made up. Steel is made up of iron and different things put in it that make it what it is. And I will tell you, forgiveness is a key element. Because we can never love until we have forgiven. And we can't always forgive in our own strength. It takes an act of God. We tell the Lord, Lord, I need to truly forgive until I love with a pure heart fervently. There's a cost to love. That is that we die to ourselves and we forgive. When it's ours to hold, they did us wrong. It's ours to hold. Love is an element of giving that without it we could not feel each other's goodwill. There's an element of goodwill, of being helpful, of feeling the generosity of another's love to us. There's an element of that that is in love. That's part of love, isn't it? I've thought for weeks or months, God gave a framework for marriage. And you know, when we do it His way, it works. But it takes grace from God, doesn't it? It takes humility. Did you know, for us to tell someone else I was wrong? Very difficult thing to do at times, isn't it? Little things, yeah, that's easy. Sometimes it's hard. Humility is an element that helps make up love, that without it, it really can't happen. Because we have to overlook somebody's offense. We have to forgive. And then we have to humble ourselves to love. That's hard to do. And many times, marriages just split up rather than humble themselves and allow the grace of God to come into their heart and life and fill it in such a way that they have life and vibrance instead of death and ill in it. The Lord wants to give us those things. It takes grace. And I will tell you, I pray regularly, Lord, give me grace today. I want to have grace that I can be loving, that my words can be kind, that I can be honest and true in every sense, that I can be pure and godly. You know, it takes God in this life, doesn't it? It takes grace, and that's the thing we have to get from the Lord. So when we look at love and we look at all the things that it has, folks, God has it in His storehouse. It comes from Him. It's more than just His Word. It's His Word enlivened in our heart and life this morning. The cost of love, the beauty of love. You ever looked at the beauty of love? You ever looked at somebody that just had nothing but full love all the way in their hearts for everybody? That's a beautiful person, isn't it? Somebody that we like to be around. The warmth of love, the strength of love. Love is stronger than death. It's strong, isn't it? When everything else fails, love, if we keep it, it'll remain. When everything else is gone by, when all the preaching and all the things and all the faith and all those things are in the past, love will endure, won't it? I want to read one more place. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, we all know that chapter. And it starts out by saying, though I speak with the tongues of man, of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It is of such quality and such value that without it, everything else that I have to say, profess, or anything else is just like we hit something and the noise, it's gone. Everything else. But it says, if I don't have love with it. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's the word of the Lord. That's how important. We've been reading these different places about what it says about love and the quality of it and the need for it and the value of it. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It suffers a long time. It puts up with a lot, and it's still kind. Charity envieth not. It doesn't see what someone else has out of a critical eye and wishing I had it instead of them or whatever. Charity doesn't do that. It's happy for what someone else has that I don't have. Charity's like that. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself in a manner that's not Christian. That's what it means, unseemly, in a manner that shouldn't be. It doesn't behave itself in that way because it seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, tries to think the best, doth not, or rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But I want to tell you, charity will endure. It'll go to heaven with us. It'll leave behind a smell and a strength that other people can sniff the way to heaven. They can see the way to heaven by the aura that we left behind us of love. It strengthens families. It strengthens children. Little children that aren't loved, they have a hard road. They really do. We can take the confidence out of our children by berating them, can't we? We can tell them what they can't do, what they didn't do, how they did it wrong, and take all their confidence. We can cause a man, a woman can cause a man to come down to a low place, can't he? He can. I've seen it happen. When a man could be a leader, you know, Proverbs 31 says that that virtuous woman, her husband is known in the gates. You know why? It kind of gives something there to the woman, doesn't it? It does. Her husband is known in the gates, the kind of woman that helps him be that kind of man. Of course, he has to be that kind of man too. But it's a work of love that helps each other, that causes children to grow up and be confident, to be able to work in life, to know that God loves them. Or we can cause our children to grow up and wonder if there is a God. I want to tell you, there's enough of the devil's fighting without us joining in with him, isn't there? But we can love one another, and we can love our children, we can love our wives. A man can make a woman feel like a queen. I've heard it said that take a woman after 7 years and look at her, and you'll see how her husband has treated her. I'm sure that's not true every time. I know the Lord helps people in their, but that's what I've heard. You know, we have a lot to do with one another, and the Lord help us to love each other and do our best to build each other and to strengthen one another. The Lord help us to cause each other's faces to shine. You pray for me. I want to do that better. I want to know how to do that. Sometimes there's differences between in marriages. There's differences in people. And it's very difficult to do that with one another. But I am persuaded that the God of heaven will do that and do it well. And he'll teach us how to do it with other people then through those experiences. The Lord help us today to recognize what a treasure we have in the love of God. There's hardly a greater thing we could have than that great treasure. Lord, open my heart. Let me feel more of it. Let me know more of it. Let me know how it works, that I might help others know how it works. Y'all pray for me.